May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I invite you to be seated. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. I thoroughly enjoyed the 8:15 service today. It seems to be growing every week. I think somebody said there were 38 at that service. That is significant growth over the last year or two. And I find their insights profoundly helpful to me because I had begun the sermon in a particular way, and it didn't take long before I looked up and I saw one of the people in the pews do this. So I'm going to skip that page. This morning, I want to invite you to embrace the text as a paradigm for a modern-day mountaintop experience. Come with me on an adventure. You know, the gospel is actually today about who is Jesus, who are we, who does Jesus say he is, and how do we answer those same questions in our day-to-day spiritual journey? Contemplating the crucifixion and resurrection are at the center of the messianic mission. Suffering, rejection, death, and resurrection are integral to Jesus' messianic mission. And you and I are invited to follow the way of the cross, the same cross. The Transfiguration story reveals Jesus as totally unique, not to be equated, not even with the likes of Moses and Elijah. What happens in the passage happens very fast. It is an apocalyptic moment. God enters to announce what had been hidden. Peter freaks out in fear and anxiety. God announces, "This is my son, listen to him." Elijah and Moses show up for the party, and there are new perceptions and recognition, all happening in a few moments. Some would say in the blink of an eye. This event is for the disciples back then and right here. If we are to embrace this text as a paradigm for a modern-day mountain experience, we need to acknowledge a few things. If you have had mountaintop experiences, you know this. The way up is hard. It has many challenges and obstacles. You find yourself out of breath physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually on the way up. But if you are determined, dedicated, disciplined, you find your way to the top only to discover you can't stay there long. And then it's the coming down. And the coming down after a mountaintop experience can be very, very difficult as we re-engage our day-to-day experiences. But we wouldn't give up that mountaintop experience of an encounter with God for anything. Some have had many of those moments in their lives, and some have had a few. But no matter what, when you talk to those who've had a moment in God's presence, they do anything to get back up to that moment. The truth is that there are highs and low experiences in mountaintop experiences, and many of us spend a great deal of time in the valley where we prepare to climb again, where we prepare to dust ourselves off and start again. And that may be true in the relationships in our marriage, in our workplace, with our friends and family, with new experiences and new opportunities. The hardest part, always, is that eventually we all have to come down from the mountain to the normal life to return to whatever challenges face us there. What never gets talked about is what's behind all of that. And in the Gospel of Mark, Peter is terrified by the transfiguration. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus reaches out and touches the disciples because they are so frightened of the experience. And in the Gospel of Luke, the disciples are terrified when they enter the cloud with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. All of that leads to this question. What does the Transfiguration story want to accomplish in the life of the faith community? I believe at least in part of that is to address the following fact. We spend a lot of time afraid, a lot of time terrified, a lot of time with anxiety and uncertainty about what's coming next. But if we can assure ourselves and those around us that our faith will be bigger than our fear, then we can face those new challenges with a certain spiritual confidence that God is with us always. Some in the congregation would like me to get real safe, real quick. Oh, Stephen, just talk about the theophanies of the passage and leave it there. For those of you who would like that definition, an encounter with a deity in which there manifests an observable and tangible form. Let's talk about what happened to Jesus. He becomes as bright as light. God speaks directly to him and to the disciples and says, "This is my son, listen to him." It's a reaffirmation of who Christ is, which is all well and good unless we want it to be directly relevant to us. And if we need that, if we want that in our spiritual journey, then there's more to the passage. Why do you and I avoid mountaintop experiences? Well, most of us enjoy consistency. Most of us prefer a lack of complexities. Some of us are even complacent. I call it my lazy boy chair. Leave me the heck alone. I'm in the chair. The light's on. The jazz music has started. I have a glass of wine in my hand. Are you having trouble reading this? I can easily become complacent. Easily. I often prefer caution and being careful. I think I learned that over the years with a series of bumps and bruises along the road. And yet the gospel calls us to more. How do we put aside the consistency, embrace the complexity, put aside the complacency, step out of our safe box of caution, not always be careful, but explore new adventures and new possibilities. Emerson once wrote this, "Always do the things you're afraid of." What are we missing out on? What are we missing out on by remaining safe, complacent, consistent, and cautious? We're missing out on the adventures, the new beginnings, the excitement of the journey, a satisfaction that we can do it. We're missing out on those new experiences and the new awarenesses of God that come when we are focused on an encounter with God. In our prayer life, in our meditation, in our times of worship. I know a guy, and you know him too. I know a guy, and this guy has been in a submarine, been snorkeling, traveled on a cigar boat, jet skied on the ocean, went for cruises, went horseback riding on the beach in Hawaii, and held a snake, all while he was terrified, frightened beyond your imagination. Yes, I am speaking of my own adventures. I love consistency. I embrace complexity for you, not me. I think complacency should be a golden rule. I am sure that caution is a fundamental principle for me, not you. And being careful, do what you want, but I'm going to be careful. Thank God I was sent a partner who throws caution to the wind as soon as she wakes up. Thank God I was sent a partner who believes in adventure. Now I remind her on a regular basis that she's broken more bones in her body than is my regular nightmare that I might hurt my left toe. Her collarbone's been shattered. Her knee's been shattered. Her ankle's been shattered. She's got more metal and screws in her body than you can imagine. And she would never tell you that because someone here would help her to avoid her next adventure, and nobody's going to stop her. If you watch and listen to Joyce, she's one of those persons that says to me, the submarine ride was too short. The snorkeling was too brief. The cigar boat cheated us on the length of a trip. We could do jet skiing again. The cruises were wonderful. The horseback riding on the beach was romantic. The holding the snake was a precious moment. I need you to know that I'll never get in a submarine again. The snorkeling, I'm sure I saw Jaws, the original. The cigar boat is terrifying, but if you hold onto the floor and scream the entire time, nobody will notice. The jet skiing in the ocean's fabulous, except Jaws is following. And she put me on the back. The cruise is wonderful, and the woman in the elevator who said to me, excuse me, mister, are you sure you're supposed to have patches on both ears? Just proves that if you're on a cruise ship and you're stoned, you have a great time. And the horseback riding on the beach in Hawaii, I was convinced it was quicksand. And as far as holding the snake, when there's a whole room full of women daring you to do something, men get stupid. Despite being diagnosed at the age of 23 with a severe learning disability, I made a commitment surrounded by friends and family that I would continue my education. The 3 degrees that hang on the wall are a reminder that you can function every day terrified. We reached a point in my last degree where I quit daily, usually before 9 a.m. And Joyce would say to me, you need to go for a long walk and pray. And when you get back, you need a better attitude, or I'm not helping you anymore. I spent 3/4 of the walk saying things about my lovely spouse. And then I came to terms in prayer that it's okay to be afraid as long as your faith is bigger than your fears. Sometimes we need to listen, search out, be deliberate, be intentional about an encounter with God, and then take the next step toward the mountain. Remember, one great and powerful leader pointed out that we need not see the entire staircase, but only the next step. And so I leave this from one frightened but faithful person to another. Life is not a problem to be solved, but a reality to be experienced. And sometimes the mantra must be, may my faith be stronger than my fear today. Amen.